I just going to read some part of it, which I don't agree. Further, all state land also entitled to enter into agreement with secretary, any private landowner whose land adjoined or whose use of such a land would directly affect only state or state provide land is authorized as provided in section to enter into agreement with the state of Alaska if state participating in program if secretary is contracting party with the private landowner he still afford the state opportunity to participate in negotiating that language this language also in next page this language bothers me because state is going to be participated again, involved again. I don't agree on it. This is what I'm talking about. What is Alaska Land Bank? 94 statute 244 page public law 96487 December 2nd 1980. I want this for the record because how many times states gonna participate in the land handling?
Well, you say that. The state shouldn't have anything to do with the land bank provisions. Those provisions are there so that subsistence lands can be put into the land bank and avoid taxation. And you take the view that that should be done regardless whether the state goes along with it or not.
Maybe you want to look at what I'm talking about. It is still red paint. I wonder if Edgar or Durante aware of this situation. Because it's when we bank our land, it's going to affect this language. This section will affect us. We have to live after we put everything in there. We have to go through this all the time.
Well, that's a good point, and it's a point that was raised at some hearings in the interior. Some people up there agree with you. They think that the state shouldn't have a right to decide about the lands, the way they're managed in the land bank and so on.
Those lands will be private land turned over to the state and then state again after you get them reissue it the way they want it. That I don't feel very comfortable about it. Earlier you asked us how this native land claim affect us, how it's been helping us, how it's not helping us. Far as I'm concerned, since native land claims been passed, my life or my as a personal all I do is get more paper paperwork out of it than I do and more headache and I think it's gonna work a little bit for a while But it depends upon how we educate our children, how we educate our people, how the people, how much they care they put into to the land claim, to understand it. If that don't happen, it's gonna dissolve like sugar in the water. You follow?
Yeah, well, I can certainly follow that.
Like I say, early state of the game. I think with native land claim itself to us more harm, more harm to our people, because we took away their inheritance. Because newborn children, they got no identity born into. Pretty soon Native people are gonna phase out. It became one. We know, even though if you got quarter blood and half blood, that blood is gonna phase out, because nobody's gonna recognize you. That's what this land claim is going to do to us. I'm very unhappy about it. The way it's been. We've been pushed. I think in that December 18th, 1971 meeting, when we voted into, there were less than 300 leaders or whatever, there's less than 300 interested people out of what, 80,000 native in the state of Alaska. A lot of these old people, a lot of the people that didn't involve in land game, a lot of people was not educated enough to know what's going on, didn't know. Now it's coming back. Now and then, the FN meeting or other meeting, somebody would come up and say, I didn't sell my land, I didn't know nothing. Nobody tell me, I heard quite often these things are mentioned. I hope your work real hard. Chief of Port Graham, I appreciate you to come to Port Graham, choose us a small village like this. Somehow we've been chosen is something that we'd be proud of. And I hope your hard work, all the effort you put in, been put to use after you finish the study, to re-implement the native land claim, and particularly land and taxation and social welfare of the native people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGannick. Open for business, and who would like to go next?
Fiona Sadden, and I'm a shareholder for Chugach Native Inc. And my concerns are when our kids grow up after we pass on, and that's concerning the land that we used to hunt on and fish, which we are restricted now. When I was small, I know that we weren't told you fish only at that period. But now subsistence is in existence. But subsistence used to be open all the time, all year round, for whatever was available to hunt at that time. And our people do not waste any food. If we catch more than we can handle, we give them to the older people or who don't go hunting or fishing. And the concerns that I have is there's a lot of talk about our people maybe selling their shares, because they don't have no understanding that once they sell their shares, how are our kids going to have a place to hunt and fish like we used to at this time. Of course, even though we're restricted, there's subsistence open at certain times. And only natives, I guess, are supposed to go hunting, but some of us are married to whites, and us ladies don't know how to shoot. We can fish as long as the Fish and Wildlife isn't watching. I'm not used to fishing blind. I'm used to fishing where I can see fish. And Judge Berger, I think, I hope he can solve many of these problems and answer and maybe write it so our kids can understand and our people who are now, that are going to go into 1991, and without knowing it, they're going to get rid of their shares and their land, and pretty soon we're not going to have any. And I think the education should go through the schools of what 1991 is going to be. It scares me, and I'm sure it scares the rest of the people who own land and who own shares. Of course, we're having a hard time where we have to select 164 acres, and still they tell us we can't get them. Most of us can't get them. Why? They never tell us a reason. We were born in the land where we selected lands, and now our hands are tied up. We can only live in a small section with our house on it, and that's the only place that we own here in the village. Before, the village was owned by everybody, not only sections. And it's kind of hard for a lot of our people to understand, and it's hard for me to live that way, even though I lived in a city where it was crowded. And those are my complaints, and I think if there would be any answers, I'd appreciate them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My name is Eleanor McMullen. I was born and raised here. I went to school here in Park Graham, left the village for a while, came back. I feel, I want also recorded or for people to know that I am married to a non-native. My father was non-native. We've had to deal with that. I think one of the things, biggest things, my family has had to deal with is acceptance, recognition, identity. I've not had that problem personally myself. I've thought of myself as a native of Park Graham, a part of Park Graham. I feel my heritage, I have just a few of them, hardly any traditions left. Heritage is the land. The biggest part of it is the land, the use of the land we live on. Subsistence is second. My love, I love to fish. I love to do things on with the land. I love to eat what I get off the land. And third, my identity. My identity as a native, as an Alaskan of Port Graham. My language, I learned it fairly young. I had a grandmother that didn't speak English. She understood a little bit English, not very much. So we had to learn. We had to learn to communicate with her. Those are four things I feel like I have left. Spirituality, I think, was lost down the line somewhere. Russian influence, the Russian Orthodox came in, changed that. I don't have no idea what my people identified with spiritually. It's been gone. I feel like the Alaska Native land claims changed a lot of things. A lot of things with my people, with the entire state of Alaska. I was gone during a big part of it. When I came back, people had to have this section of the village to build a house on, where, and when I left, you could build where you felt, as long as it wasn't personally owned by someone. You could build your home where you felt like it. You could do it. When I came back, I was told I had to build on a certain lot that had been surveyed and measured. This is not traditional. This is not Alaskan, the way I knew land was handled in my community. I feel like monetary value was placed on land and almost on everything, which maybe I grew up with rose-colored glasses. I don't know. I never noticed it there before. But a value was placed on things. My time, if I were going to help somebody, I placed monetary value on it rather than going and doing it voluntarily. Monetary values placed on land. Just yesterday I heard a young man say, We have to sell the next pieces of land that we have opened up in the village to our people. This is not our traditional Native way. Land was made available to our people if they were a part of that community. It wasn't sold to them. We didn't buy it. Taxes. We pay taxes. I think maybe all of us in the village have been faced with this thing on with the Kenai Borough. The Kenai Borough doesn't even recognize us as part of their area because we have no tax base. Our lands will be a tax base eventually. I'm sure they'll recognize that very quickly. Land is a big thing with me. I'm so afraid we'll lose it. I don't own 160 acres. I don't own any land, only the parcel that my house is built on. But it's valuable to me. My parents owned a piece of land here in the village. A small piece, but now we stand a chance to lose it. And I sure want you people to stop and think about that. And realize you can lose that piece of land. Mothers in the nursing home, outstanding bills being accumulated, the state refuses to help her because she owns a piece of land. So we're told we have to sell our land. My only identity to this village is the land. My parents were on, and we could stand to lose it. I get emotional when I think about that, because it's very valuable, my sister and I both. The land my grandparents lived on, the state claimed that when they built the airstrip. You know, it's like they didn't exist. It's part of the airstrip. This is land that belonged to people that settled here, that helped and fed people in this community. It's nothing. Erosion's taken over. I think ANSCA placed our shares with dollar signs, What the value and the dollar sign is, I have no idea. To me, that share that I have, the 100 shares in my native corporation, have no value to them. To me, they're nothing. But the land that I fish off of, have lots. My roots. I think one of the things that happened also, people became selfish. Maybe, I don't know whether that's the right word or not. I felt like brothers and sisters and family members fought against each other, turned against each other. When I'm talking about not here in the community, I think people from Cordova area, people from Port Graham, they were finding faults with each other, where before I don't think those faults really were in existence. There was lots of bad feelings brought out. Those bad feelings continued to grow. And many of our people, my grandparents, my grandmother, came from those areas and must be part of our family. These things didn't exist. Another concern I have are my grandchildren. I willed part of my share, my native share, to one of my granddaughters. I wish I had enough to will to all of them. Again, it goes back to native identity. My grandchildren are more native than my children are, thank goodness. But still, if the land is lost, subsistence is lost, what little native language we have left, if that's lost, what are they going to have? There's not going to be anything. I feel like Alaska Native land claims placed a great big burden on the native people. Our native people, our leaders, our board of directors were not used to using and being placed in positions that they were placed in dealing with large amounts of money, dealing with land, dealing with all kinds of public business people. They weren't accustomed to that. That wasn't and isn't the native style, isn't the way of our life. They were placed in positions that nobody knew where they were or what they were doing. They were having very difficult times. I don't look down on my native leaders on the ANSCA thing. I don't look down on them. They did the best they can. They thought they were getting something good, but we all soon found out maybe it wasn't so good. The money I got from my native organization, I placed it in my church. It's still there. That's the only thing I have. I bought a piece of equipment for my church. I don't know where the rest of it went. It brought on a lot of problems. One of the big things I find, I heard a lot of before, and I continue to hearing statements such as, you rich natives. You rich natives, especially people that deal with us within the borough. You rich natives can do this, you rich natives can do that. You don't need us, you don't need our help. We should be turning to you for monetary help. When there are no rich natives, we may be rich in what we have, what we have, but may stand to lose our land. We have to take care of that. Native people are different. Maybe I'm thinking we're different when we really aren't, but I think our thinking is totally different. People that are non-native don't quite understand our way of thinking. And somehow, if we could close those gaps so they can better understand us and we better understand them, I think many good things can happen. One of the sad things I see happen within our people, and I mentioned it earlier, is the sharing and the helping. We don't share and help like we did. When I moved back here in 72, people couldn't do enough for each other. But all of a sudden, something's happened since then, and I don't know what it is. It's really sad. We're not sharing. We're not helping each other. We're placing judgment on each other before we help. We're making statements. Well, that person just isn't that great. And I think it has to do with all the changes happening within our people. I don't know if it has to do with Alaska Native land claims, but I somehow, in the back of my mind, I feel it does somewhere along the line, because people have placed a monetary value on so much. I think the self-government of our village is important. The tribal government, to continue it and maintain it, and somehow to keep it going. We look after each other. If there's a family in this community that's having problems, we try our best to try to help and make things right and keep our people within the community rather than have them taken out if they fall bad with the law or anything. I think we need to continue that. We need to keep our people together and our children together. Basically, we need to just be brothers and sisters and to better understand each other. I think we need to protect our land. I guess I'm just repeating that over and over. I don't think we can do enough. Like I said, I don't own any land myself, but I think that land is very, very valuable for many, many things. We need to find some way to enroll our children that were born after the closing dates. So important. They're part of us. They're part of the, they need to be able to identify with something and somebody. And I think being members of our Native organizations and being a part of the land, they can identify. I don't know how anybody or who can place a value on my nativeness, who can place a value on my thinking, my spirituality, or my being a part of Port Graham. I don't think anybody can. Only myself. And I think each and every one of us need to remember that we aren't Native, and that we need to value that and protect it through whatever way we can, and basically through protection of our lands and our lifestyle. That's all I have to say. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Benjamin. Thank you very much.
My name is Ralph Hensley. I'm the head teacher at Port Graham Elementary High. I would like to speak on behalf of some students who have, along with some other teachers and myself, discussed the Alaska Native Land Claims Act and 1991. These students are Elmer Anakanak, Arthur Peterson Carlo, Anna Marie Meganic, Rachel Meganic, Dimitri Tanapi, David Malchoff, Billy Meganic, Laura Meganic, Anna Sue Moonen, Annette Tanapi, and Robert Tanapi. And there are some younger students who we think are just beginning to understand the implications, but who have not participated quite as much as these students. One of the things that I've noted in particular during the time that we've held these discussions, that the students are very much aware that their heritage and their land is beyond price, that it is priceless. Some of their concerns are for their younger brothers and sisters and cousins. They believe it was unfair that they were left out in 1971. They believe that the law should be changed to include their younger brothers and sisters so that they might also be shareholders and maintain their contact with the land and their spirituality. They do not want to see their people sell their land. And if it must be so, then they would like to see a restriction so that the land could only be sold to relatives, so that it would always remain in the hands of the original people of Port Graham. They ask the question, is the corporation the best vehicle to serve their interests? Is it the best vehicle to protect the land? Is it the best vehicle to protect their culture? Is it the best vehicle to protect their spirituality, which is tied to the land? For myself as a school teacher, essentially an outsider, a person who's been here 3 years, a white person who grew up in a cash economy, I've always thought that I had a close affinity for American Natives, Alaskan Natives, because I've always envied their ability to live and be a part of the land. It seemed to me something really special to be able to understand that everything is a part of everything else, and that you take pride and spirituality from that. I'm sorry to say that during my 3 years here that we have done very little to help educate our students toward the Alaska Native Land Claims Act and toward what is going to happen in 1991. We do have a bilingual program, bicultural program, and I believe this whole topic could find its way in that program so that our students could be much better educated toward what is going to have a tremendous impact on their lives in 1991. I'd like to say that our school is open to work closely with Chugach Native Corporation, with Port Graham Corporation, with the North Pacific Rim. We need the expertise of these people. We need their help to help educate the children. I'm sorry to say that as a part of the Kenai Peninsula School District, from those that are my superiors, I've experience very little questioning on their part in terms of what are we doing for the students. We are pressed more to raise reading scores, to raise math scores, so that at the end of the year our SRA scores are very high. As far as the cash economy, the ability to understand the land, to live on the land, to value the land, to value the environment, there's no way to measure that, and therefore, if you can't quantitate it, it doesn't seem to have the importance that some of us think it should have. Our students know that the village, the land, and the culture that they have, the language that seems to be slowly slipping away, is a source of identity and pride and well-being. Recently, last spring, our previous bilingual instructor resigned. The position was advertised. Last May, it was advertised again in August. And only recently have we found a person who, or four people who come forward to help us fill that position and therefore become an educational leader within the community and to help us address this problem. From my point of view, I know that as Eleanor has said, that those of us who do feel these things are important, that we are going to have to work together. The community of Port Graham and Port Graham School must become a closer-knit group. We must work together because the greatest resource that we have are the children that are in the community. If the land is to be preserved for future generations, it will be the children that will preserve it. They must be educated now so that they can speak up, they'll have the willingness to speak up, and they'll be able to take over the leadership positions that are going to be vacated by the adults and the elders who are presently in those positions. I can only see that things are going to become much, much more difficult with the population of Alaska growing from the lower 48. There's going to be much more pressure, much more competition to try to swing the laws, to try to influence what happens. So it's important now that the people of Port Graham and all the Alaska Natives take this issue and begin to solve the problems that has been presented. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hensley. Thank you.
My name is Mary Malchoff, and I'm the president of Port Graham Corporation right now. And I find in working for Port Graham Corp that ANSCA in some way should have made some provisions for training to run a corporation. I feel that we got dumped for a small village. We got dumped with a lot of land to manage, and we weren't trained to take care of that and to run a corporation. And in a small village, you just can't afford to pay any big monies to find a manager or services of another. And I find in small villages we're getting hurt where we're like an audit is forced on us or attorney fees to interpret the law or anytime we need special consultants, it's cost us money. Yet with our own native people, I feel like we don't pay them enough, yet an outsider can come in and they charge us an $80 to $100 an hour. And I feel that's really unfair. And I wish I didn't, I wish I'd knew more about ANSCA when it came to being. And there should have been more education or to let people know more about it. And I feel that there's been changes that have been made amongst our own people. We've become sort of boundary conscious as people. We can't go out anymore without saying, hey, you're stepping on my property or you're stepping on my native allotment or that's corporation land. And we've need more training in, you know, dealing with land. And some of us just become land barons, or whatever you call it. You're just out to get more land because you feel like you're left out. And you find with outsiders, they're always coming to you, hey, you're rich in land, you're rich in, but you know, personally, you don't gain any land. Just the corporations, it's given to the corp to run it. So whatever the outside people think, it's we're not land rich. It's run by the corp. And if I don't, and then there's, I don't know, I feel that if I'd have known more about it, I just feel that there's unfairness where other people can join another corporation yet still in our live in our village and enjoy our all our other social freedoms and our land. And if I'd have known about it, they can come in here and enjoy our benefits and still gain land from it. And those are just a couple of things I wanted to address.
Maybe I could ask you some questions. How many shareholders are there in the Village Corporation?
196.
And how much land does the Village Corporation have?
Conveyed to us, it's 66. 1,000 acres.
66,000 acres. Mm-hmm. Well, have you made all your selections?
And the A and B, yes.
Mary, you said four times.
Yeah, well, we've been conveyed at 66 right now.
Does the Village Corporation have any employees, full-time employees?
No, we don't.
Well, what does the Village Corporation do? If I came along and said, what does that Village Corporation do? What business does it do? What would you say?
Well, I would say that just recently we bought a cannery. Mm-hmm. We were involved in the cannery. Joint venture with our regional
corporation. Oh, I see.
And other than that, we're involved in just a local store and...
Here in town?
Yes. And the fuel business that came at the cannery. And just little rentals, heavy equipment rentals and what have you.
Has your Village Corporation been able to pay any dividends in recent years?
Yes, for 2 years. 2 years it had. Not a dividend, a partial liquidation.
And how much did the people receive?
A dollar a share. $2 a share.
$2 a share. So mm-hmm. $200 each.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a partial liquidation. You sold some assets, was that
no,
it?
No, just just liquidated part of our assets.
I see.
Not selling it, it just was in the bank. And
oh, money in the bank.
Uh-huh.
Well, who runs the corporation? Do you run it?
Well, the 5 board of directors are elected, and they in turn are the policy making. They're the decision makers of the corporation, and they give me the, I do the work.
Right.
I carry out.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.